thirsty, my friends.
That's what I do. I drink, and I know things.
Touchdown, Packers!
Football is life!
Lana!
What? Danger zone.
Was gonna be this way.
No! No! No!
Psych you out in the end.
This is the way.
It's Morphin time!
Joyful and jolly Jokerfish.
Ew, David.
And be better protected from mayhem. Like me.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello. I'm the doctor.
Nerd!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another more phenomenal episode of the Midwestern Nerds podcast. I'm your host, Brian Stoffel. We are the Midwestern Nerds. That's MIDWESTERNERDS. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Midwestern Nerds. We are the Midwestern Nerds podcast on Facebook. If you'd like to send us an email, you can send that to MidwesternNerds@gmail.com. You can find and stream and listen to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. This week, it is morphing time. We have been graced with the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Once and Always special on Netflix. As you may have noticed, it is only me talking so far. Kyle is not joining us today, but we have a special guest joining us here. He is one of the biggest Power Ranger fans that I know. Welcome back to the podcast, the Golden Knight himself, Ryan Teal. Ryan, how's it going, buddy?
I am doing great, Brian. Thank you for that awesome intro. I'm excited to talk some Power Rangers today.
Awesome. Let's start off. Give us a little insight into your Power Rangers background. How did you get into Power Rangers? When did you start? How much have you been keeping up with it?
Yeah, so I, watched Power Rangers, like a lot of kids back in the day in the early 90s, late 90s and stuff like that. Very huge fan. I had the life-size cutouts. I had costumes. I had, milk cups, pajamas, anything you could want. I had some kind of Power Rangers affection. I watched it pre-religiously when I was a kid. Kind of fell out when I started becoming, more of a teenager and stuff like that. And, once I got to college and found out the show was on Netflix, I, fell back in love with it, watched it all over again. I, own the show on DVD, Love the show. Can't get enough of it.
Like I said, you are one of the biggest Power Ranger fans that I know. Even back to when, in the college days, you and Chad, previous host of the podcast, went to Chicago, got to meet the Green Ranger himself, Jason David Frank. How was that?
That was awesome. He, great guy, very sad that he passed and stuff like that, but great guy. He asked everyone their name, he shook their hand, did any kind of silly action pose you wanted with him and stuff like that, and had a smile on his face and thank you for your time when he was gone. Just a great guy. Also had the chance to listen to him talk and kind of give his thoughts on the show in general. Just a guy who, he found a role he loved and you could see the passion in the work he did.
Yeah, it's very sad when he passed. It was one of those things where I saw it on Facebook and I was like, what? No, that can't be right. Yeah. And it was early on in the morning, like mm-hmm. the day that it came out, like his trainer had posted something and nobody picked it up for like hours. And I was like, this has to be fake. And lo and behold, unfortunately it wasn't.
I kept hoping it was a hoax or something, but no.
So not to bring a downer into the episode this early on, but if you're having some struggles like that, like reach out there. There's definitely services that can help you out. We all struggle. I struggle myself at times, and it's not something to take lightly and take for granted, because you never know when you can lose people like that. Power Rangers myself is an interesting and funny story. My mom growing up had things that she didn't care about, and then like the random odd things that she was passionately against. And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was fine. The live action version of the 90s, which was very violent and taught me what swearing was fine. Power Rangers, though? No. Absolutely not.
That was off limits.
It's too violent. And it's too violent. It's dumb. It's stupid. It's not benefiting you in any way. Like, absolutely not.
Oh yeah, but Teenage Mutant Turtles, you know, teaches you all the life lessons you need. So
it wasn't until like I was a little bit older. I had some friends that were big in the Power Rangers, so I lived vicariously through them. They had like the Power Rangers Turbo movie, and you know the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie with Ivan Ooze. And so like I got to watch those when I'd go over to their house, and it wasn't until Lightspeed Rescue when suddenly I was old enough to be allowed to not have mom care about me watching Power Rangers. So that season for some reason gets a lot of hate. Like, I don't understand it, because I actually really like that season. It's when we were watching the Once in Future special, I had even mentioned to the fact that like it wasn't until that season when they had like a firefighter and a paramedic, yeah, and you had like them in an underwater Navy base, where suddenly it was, oh, it's not just us beating up bad guys all the time. Like, maybe we should actually try to like rescue some, yeah, of these people that are always put in danger.
Save the people of Earth.
Like, I remember specific episodes of, oh, hey, this big monster like destroyed half the city in the last episode. They're still like burning buildings and collapsing buildings and people trapped, and maybe we should go out and actually like save them with our, yeah, with our big rescue Zord vehicles. And it was that I was like, this is really cool. And then that's kind of when I fell back in love with Power Rangers. And then we jump way back into the future with the stuff that they're doing in the Boom comics right now, where they're taking Mighty Morphin and they're continuing the stories in different ways. They're getting it a little bit more of an adult spin, some darker takes on it, darker themes. And we get things like the Omega Rangers of Jason, Zach, and Trini. When they leave the show, no, they didn't go off to a peace conference. No, like, yeah, they went up in space and they did their own ranger adventures, saving planets instead of just like our own planet. Like, yeah, some cool stuff like that, where Power Rangers is in a really cool place right now, where, yeah, we're honoring the past, where we're recognizing where it came from, and we're elevating it to a whole new level now in the future too. And this special also does that too.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree. Power Rangers is in a great spot right now. It's great to see, you know, that next generation of fans, you know, like you mentioned to me earlier, you know, people who grew up with the show, a lot of them are having kids now, want to get that passion of the show for them as well too. It's awesome. You know, I hope Power Rangers never ends. I hope they keep, you know, keep the tradition alive, keep that next generation of fans going.
Let's talk about the special. I'm going to pass it over to you right away, being probably the bigger Power Ranger fan out of the two of us. What did you think?
It was enjoyable. You know, it's not too long. It was about an hour. That's probably about the length, you know, I felt it needed to be. I don't think it overstayed its welcome or anything like that. It's a charming, you know, recognition of the past. You know, there's lots of little snippets and Easter eggs of, you know, when they morph. It's a flashback of when they were in the show. You know, when the Zords first come at the first time, it's, you know, very much the same shots as, you know, in the original show and stuff. That just obviously cleaned up. It's not on grainy film anymore. But overall, it's a nice treat. You know, I think, you know, I've heard rumors that the writing wasn't all there. I don't know what people are expecting. It's Power Rangers. It's an average episode of Power Rangers, just a little longer. I thought it was overall pretty good.
An average Power Rangers of episode, I would say elevated just a little bit. Mm-hmm. You got that Netflix budget. We got the majority of the original cast returning.
Yeah.
It was cool to see both Billy and Zach kind of get elevated, mm-hmm, even more in this, especially when you know some of the behind the scenes stuff, yes, of Billy, the actor, just having pretty difficult time.
Oh yeah, just absolutely persecuted for being, you know, homosexual and stuff like that, and just not treated at all how someone should be treated.
Homosexual, his character was the nerdy character, which oftentimes was not the fan favorite character.
No.
And then you get Zach, Walter Jones, him and Jason and Trini, they all left the show, those actors,
to go to the peace conference.
not just to go to the peace conference, but because they were like, hey, we're worth a lot more to the show, to this property, than we're being compensated for. And so they're like, if you're not going to pay us like a legitimately decent wage, we're going to leave. And they did. And it's kind of cool to see both Zach and Billy kind of get the spotlight in this show. It was a little jarring at first, though, because when we get the opening battle scene, which was pretty awesome, we get introduced to Robo Rita, but it definitely felt like, oh, it's Billy versus everybody. And then when the rest of the Rangers come, it's, okay, it's Billy and Zach. Yeah. And the other Rangers are kind of there, but not really. I mean, Jason, Tommy, and Kimberly, they get taken off the board right away. Yeah. And they don't even come back. Like, the episode ends with them being like, oh, like, we got them safe, but we'll bring them back to regular size and we'll reanimate them again. Yeah. So their presence, I felt lacking a little bit. And again, with the behind the scenes stuff, I mean, if you don't know, Amy Jo Johnson didn't come back for many different reasons that she's given out.
What happened?
It was, first it was, no, it's not enough money. Then it was, no, it wasn't enough money. That wasn't the factor. It was maybe I don't want to dress up in spandex and jump around doing kung fu in my 50s.
Or it doesn't fit in her schedule. She had other projects going on and stuff like that.
So that's one thing. Jason, Austin St. John, had a little bit of legal troubles going on when they were filming this. So that makes sense why they wouldn't want to bring him back.
Yes.
I feel like it's somewhat been resolved. I've seen him do some Power Ranger stuff like online, and he doesn't have like a negative connotation against the franchise at this point. Jason David Frank was alive while they were filming this, but he was doing The Legend of the White Dragon, I think it's called.
Yes, that is what's called.
He was doing that movie, so I can understand why he wouldn't be back. It sucks that they weren't in this show. Their presence, their lack of their presence was felt, but it doesn't bring the special down. Their characters are there in some way, shape, or form. So they're at least being represented. Yeah, that opening battle scene, like, it was pretty sweet. I mean, we joked around of, oh, you got the drone shot in there, like the overview. Yeah. But you could tell Netflix was involved. It was like, oh, this is bright. It's vibrant. The picture is crisp and clear. Yeah. Like, there was a lot of love put into it. Some of the stunt work, especially with Billy doing that flip over Rita, which they showed in the trailer. They showed it in the trailer, but at the same time, like, seeing it in context, I was like, dude, this is pretty sweet. Again, I already said I liked the attention and the spotlight that Billy gets. I like the attention and the spotlight that Zach got. And then we get into the rest of the episode. I liked the honor and homage that they paid to Trini.
Yes.
The actor, way back in the 90s, tragically was taken away, lost her life to a very severe, tragic car accident. Mm. Thought it was ballsy that they incorporated the character's death in the way that they did with the actual actor. It was, they talked about it in the trailer. Like, they showed a little bit of it in the trailer, but to the extent that they brought it to in the actual special, I was like, oh, this is pretty dark for a kid's show, which some reviewers, some critics after it came out was like, oh, it was too kiddish. It was too lighthearted. But at the same time, it's like, A, this is a kid's show.
Yes.
This is Power Rangers. But B, it still got pretty dark at times.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's not much more dark you can get than having someone die within the first 5 minutes of the special. So, you know, like what you're saying, I mean, it felt kind of rushed a little bit, or just, it was awkward to just see someone die, you know, at the beginning of the episode. But obviously, you know, they had to address the elephant in the room. It had to have, you know, something had to happen with her. But I think where they go with it, you know, showing, you know, her daughter's growth and stuff like that, trying to want to be like her mom, it was very good. I, you know, like you said, it was awkward to do, but they had to do it. So
I liked that they brought the daughter element into it. The actress, she was fine. I mean, there were times where I was like, I can tell you're a young actress. Yeah, like,
yes, this is probably her first big role. She's her first paycheck. She's trying a little hard. But, you know, that's kind of like the Ball Rangers episodes. Back in the day, you go back, it's a lot of cheesiness. It's a 90s cartoon and stuff like that, a 90s show. You can see the cheesiness in all the shows. So, I mean, maybe she was trying to bring back that cheesiness a little bit for the modern day. So
I actually kind of liked that element in this special, where we could have gone super serious, yes, but I liked that it was like, This is based off of a kind of cheesy 90s show. And I liked that the little bit of cheese was in there. Like, when we were watching it and laughing and being like, oh my gosh, really? Like, it wasn't in a negative connotation either. It was definitely like, this is a little silly. This is a little cheesy, but it's still fun too, you know?
In the original show, Zed takes a pachinko machine, like a gambling machine, and makes it into a monster. It's literally like a giant slot machine as a monster. Like, you can't take that show seriously. So the people who are wanting, you know, a darker, edgier Power Rangers, that's not what the show ever was. So,
but at the same time, there's still some pretty dark elements. Like,
absolutely.
Towards the end of the special, the way that Rocky,
yes,
the way that he takes out the Minotaur,
yes,
like jumping overhead, like full on sword, like
Game of just Thrones, like
Game of Thrones stabbing him, where even Kat at the end is like, that was hardcore. Like, when they took out some of these villains in this special, I was like, dang.
And after that, it goes right into the cheesy line of beast off the menu. Like, yes. Okay, just stabbed a guy, but okay.
And to go back to the Lightspeed rescue aspect too, I liked that in this special, there were multiple times where they were rescuing people, where they were saving people. It wasn't just kind of like how it was back in the day where beat up the bad guys and, you know, let the people run off and hope that they're safe. But
yeah,
there were still times where it was like, oh, we're just gonna, yep, we won this battle, even though the villains are still up and standing, but we're taking off because we won. And it's like, wait, what? You're just gonna leave them there? So you still got a little bit of the cheese into it too. Was there anything that you kind of wished would have been a little bit different with this special, maybe story-wise, plot-wise, visuals, anything that was good but maybe could have been a little bit better for you?
Yeah, I think you know, so they do enough Easter eggs to the old show. I think they could have leaned into it a little bit more, maybe did some more different shots of, like, you know, classic stuff, maybe even bring back, you know, the villains that Rita bring back. I'll be perfectly honest, I don't remember either of them, so I don't know if that, like, she said she brought them back, I don't know if they actually were in the original show. Maybe bring back some more classic, you know, maybe have Goldar come back, have Finster, or, you know, some of the other classic villains come back.
Squatter Babu.
Yeah, Squatter Babu. I want to see some of the more of the classic villains. And, you know, after they showed how Rita came back, I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Maybe don't wait like halfway in to be like, oh, this is how she came back. Like, oh, okay, that would have been nice, like, to know 10 minutes ago. So, you know, they eventually get there and kind of show why she came back or how she came back, but I think, you know, they could have explained a little differently how she came back, you know, into being a person, and or how she came back to being a villain and stuff like that.
Yeah, that was a little jarring for me too, because I remember when it first started, I even said out loud, I was like, oh, hey, we're getting right into this.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking the same thing. I was like, how is she back? Because they tie up all of, like, the Zordon legacy,
yes,
quote unquote, characters at the end of Power Rangers in Space. And I've been doing, like, for some of these seasons, a first-time watch-through. And just so happens that this past week, I finished Power Rangers in Space, where it all wraps up, where Zordon, spoilers if you haven't seen any of this, but we're doing the Midwesterners tradition already of just talking full-on spoilers. So watch this stuff first before jumping into this episode if you don't want any spoilers. But In space, Zordon sacrifices himself. His energy then is released into the world after his little tube gets broken open. Mm-hmm. His energy gets released into the world and purges the universe of evil. And Rita and Zed, they both get turned into normal.
Regular human beings.
Normal, good, regular human beings. Divatox from Turbo. From that season, she also gets turned into, like, a regular good person. Mm-hmm. And so then it's like, okay, how do all of these people get brought back? And it's like, yeah, well, you may have purged, like, you may have taken out all those evil particles, but you haven't completely erased them. Like, they're all still out in the universe. And I liked how this special kind of cracked open some doorways for potential future specials, not just Mighty Morphin, but We could do a Zeo special now. We could do a Turbo special. We could do an In Space special. We could do all of these different kinds of specials now. We could bring back the Machine Empire. We could do all this fun stuff, but we can also do Power Rangers stuff, like Mighty Morphin stuff too. The one thing that I kind of wish that this special would have done a little bit more is they call everybody back into action because they talked about how Rita's released evil upon the whole world. It's not just Angel Grove in California. It's the whole world, but we spend all of our time in Angel Grove. I kind of wish we would have gotten like a quick scene of like a montage of some of the other teams across the globe fighting off some of that evil too.
Kind of jumping off of that. So again, spoilers. But Rita eventually starts capturing, other Rangers, and you just see a couple different shots of like, oh, I recognize that guy, I recognize that guy. And it's like, where were they? Could we not have seen some of those fight scenes? Kind of saying what you're saying. Like, could we have not shown around the world, like, oh, here's the Lost Galaxy Rangers. They're protecting Paris or something like that. And here's, the In Space Rangers. They went to Africa and they're helping defend over there. Like, it would have been cool to see those other teams show some more love to not just the original five Rangers. Like, it's supposed to be once a Ranger, always a Ranger. Oh, it's celebrating all Power Rangers, but we're really just going to celebrate the original five, and then we'll briefly mention other Ranger teams from that. Like, oh, okay, so.
Yeah, but otherwise, I had a lot of fun with this special. I'll probably go back and watch it again. The collector in me is like, please release it on Blu-ray, even though like Netflix hasn't done that since season two of Stranger Things. So I had a lot of fun with this. It had the spirit of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. It was fun to see a lot of the returning cast come in, not just the original six, but you also got from seasons two and three, you got Adam and Aisha, you got Cat and Rocky. It was the majority of the Mighty Morphin that was available to come back. And I like the open door. I hope that this special does really well for Netflix and for Power Rangers as a whole, because I would love to see more of this stuff. I feel like the actors who played Billy and Zach, I feel, and all of the returning actors, the impression that I got is they all enjoyed coming back, and I would love to see more of them come back. I would love to see this get big enough where maybe Amy Jo Johnson comes back as Kimberly, maybe Austin St. John comes
He's back,
back as Jason, or getting some of these other teams, like I said, maybe doing like a Zeo special or a Turbo special, or once and always, who you get Rangers from different teams coming together and maybe working together and finding a way to mix and match their powers or their Zords together to have them all coming back together to take on a big bad Zed or the Machine Empire or somebody, maybe somebody that was in like a newer season of Power Rangers. One of the things that bums me out too about Jason David Frank passing is this would have been a great opportunity to do the Shattered Grid, to do Lord Draken, and to get, because in the comics you get all of those Ranger teams coming together and working together. And now maybe live action it's Jason or
Or maybe it's Amy Jo Johnson. They've always shown, like, I think it's more fan art, but it's an evil version of the Pink Ranger as like Lord Draken's like second in
yeah,
command. Like,
she's the Ranger Slayer,
yes.
which is an awesome character altogether. One other thing that I want to mention too, as I wish they would have done this, is we got a banner that had Bulk and Skull on it. I wanted a short like cameo scene of the two of them because they were all the way through In Space, and Bulk is even, because I finished In Space and I've started Lost Galaxy, which is the next season. Bulk is still in Lost Galaxy. Like, they go off in the space, him and the weird doctor person that they brought in for In Space. Like, him and Bulk go off in the space, and because the actor who plays Skull didn't want to come back, he's in the first episode, and his writing out of that season is they went off into space and he slept through his alarm, so he missed the shuttle. And they're like, I think we forgot something. And it's not until they're up in the space station where they're like, that skull. I wish we could have gotten a little bit more of them other than just a banner.
Yes, absolutely. And that kind of goes back to what I was saying, like, just steer into, if you're going to go full nostalgia, just steer into it. I want to see all the original monsters. I want to see more characters from the original show. Just go full on remembrance and stuff like that. But yeah, that little banner, I thought for sure, you know, someone gets thrown through it. I thought it was going to be them getting thrown through, like, oh, haha, look at that. They broke their own banner, but sadly it was not them. But yes, I wish they would have had more of, for as far as their characters go in the series, I am shocked that they didn't have at least a couple minute scene in there. Just be like, oh yeah, remember these guys? You know, they're all the way in, you know, season 8 of this show. So
even at the end when they're in Ernie's juice bar and Zach gets up to get some smoothies from the counter, I thought he was going to get up and it was going to be Bulk and Skull like owning Ernie's.
That would have been the perfect spot for them.
Especially since the banner that they were on, they had like the sandwich.
Yeah, so sandwich. Yeah, something like that.
But maybe next time, because like I said, yeah, the door is still open. And I think if this special does as well as I hope it does, like, just kick that door wide open and let's do more specials like this. Let's do a whole season, a once and always season of Power Rangers. Mm-hmm. Netflix has the money.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
do like a short, like, I don't know, 5-6 episode mini series of all of these past Rangers coming back to take on Zed, to take on the Machine Empire, to take on something,
yeah,
something big. Bring back those classic villains. Bring Eye Guy back. Bring Goldar back.
Bring back Pachinko, man. I want to see them.
Bring the stoplight turtle that they mentioned at the end. So there we go. Once and always, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. You got the seal of approval here from both myself and the Golden Knight. Before we wrap this episode up, we have to jump into one of our favorite segments to do on the show, the best off recommendations of the week. Golden Knight, do you have anything that you want to recommend to some listeners here? Anything that you've been watching, gaming, listening to, reading, anything?
Absolutely. Well, as always, I usually have a video game recommendation, so I'm going to start with that today. The one I'm recommending is the Mega Man Battle Network Legacy Collection. It is a compilation and a re-release of a bunch of old Mega Man games, the Mega Man Battle Network series from like the early 2000s. If you're unfamiliar with this series, it's basically a reimagining of the original Mega Man series. Like back in the day, you know, the robots, you know, fighting the robots, Dr. Wily. In this version, Mega Man is actually essentially a smartphone. And he goes around with his human compartor, Lan, who, you know, they go around and solve crimes, you know, by jacking into various appliances and stuff like that. It all sounds very silly, but once you play, it is quite a fun game. It's got a very interesting, it's very much a JRPG. You know, you go around, you talk to people, you solve problems, you go to the next problem, so on and so forth and stuff like that. The fun part is the combat. It's essentially a trading card game and live, you know, stop action game and stuff like that. So basically when your turn starts, you get to select from 5 different cards of different weapons, like cannons, bombs, stuff like that. You pick your weapons and you go to your fight. You can move around the board. You know, it's move around. You got a 6x3 grid. You move around the board. It sounds very silly when I'm talking out loud like this, but I assure you it is very fun. It's got 10 games in one for the price of $60. Most of the games will take you around 6-7 hours to complete each and stuff like that. And that's not even including all the side content and stuff like that. It did very well in Japan. I want to keep doing well because I want them to continue the show, the series. The last game came out back in like 2006. So I'm hoping they'll make a Battle Network 7. So as long as it keeps selling well, I want it to do well. So it is out on the Switch, Steam, and PS5. So apologies if you have Xbox, you have to go somewhere else. But it is very fun. They're definitely worth your time. The stories are, you know, it was designed for kids. So it's, you know, an 11-year-old is saving the world, so it's very silly, but it's definitely worth your time, and I highly recommend checking it out.
Awesome. I love Mega Man. He's one of those characters in one of those games where I don't have a whole lot of exposure to, other than like Marvel vs. Capcom and some of like the comics back in the day. I think there was like one of the classic games that I could play for free on like Steam or something like that, but 10 games, is that what you said?
10 games in one. So the reason why it's 10 is because starting with Mega Man 3, they split it into two different games, kind of like what Pokemon did and stuff like that. The games are essentially the same, minus a couple different chips. Same thing with Pokemon. Same game, just a couple different things in each version. So it's 1 through 6, but 3, 4, 5, and 6 have two different versions. So that's where you get the 10 from. But there are enough differences in each one. There's different bosses, there's different weapons to collect in each one. So it is worth your time to kind of check both out. But it is essentially the same story. If you don't feel like running through it again, you don't have to, and stuff like that. But no, like I said, this has done the best out of any, Capcom. Over the last couple of years has been re-releasing all their old Mega Man games. They did the first, the original robot ones. They did Mega Man X. Those sold around like 8 to 10 million, in Japan. Battle Network did like 20, 28 in its first weekend alone. So it's already like leaped and bound over all the other ones, like all time and stuff like that. So, but no, I love it. I love Battle Network so much. So
It sounds like it's definitely worth the value. You're definitely getting your bang for your buck. My best stock recommendation for the week, I'm going to keep it in the Power Rangers realm. I'm going to talk about a little game that once we're done recording here, the Golden Knight and myself, we're going to jump in and play. It is Power Rangers Heroes of the Grid. It is a board game that very much feels like you're playing an episode of Power Rangers. You have three different zones, and you have the command center, and the different zones are like Ernie's juice bar or the mall or the power plant or the quarry, I think, is one
The old quarry.
where they fought so many villains, and you're trying to make sure that all of the zones are being cleared of putties while you're also having to fight monsters, and then you get the big boss in itself. The original pack is Rita. But you can get some of the expansions where you get like Lord Zedd, and you get the evil Green Ranger, and you get all that stuff. And it's not just Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. This game is expanded enough where you're getting into all different kinds of seasons. You get the Shattered Grid expansion from the comics where you can fight Lord Draken and the Ranger Slayer, and you're fighting the Mastodon troopers instead of putties, or you got the whole Zeo team, which I've been painting up and all that too. Or you get all these different seasons. So if Mighty Morphin, it isn't quite your jam, but you love some of the other seasons, you can jump into that too. It's a really fun game. It's a board game. You play different battle cards to take out the villains, and you have weapon cards. You After defeating so many villains, you get Zords that you can also use into the battle. And once you get all the Zords, you get the Megazord, and you can use that to fight the boss. It's a fun game. If you're a Power Rangers fan, I highly recommend checking out and picking up Power Rangers Heroes of the Grid. We have Ben, your Midwestern Nerds this week. That's MIDWESTERNERDS. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Midwestern Nerds. We are the Midwestern Nerds podcast on Facebook. If you'd like to send us an email, you can send that to midwesternnerds@gmail.com. You can find and stream and listen to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please remember to rate and review, share and subscribe, be kind, please rewind. All of these things help this podcast to continue to improve and grow and be the Midwestern Nerds podcast that you, the listener, want to listen to. For your Midwestern Nerds this week, I have been Brian Stoffel.
And I've been the Golden Knight.
And whether it's beer, brats, comics, or Megazords, may the power protect you.